This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes a strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're going to talk NBA basketball on the show. Last night, the Utah Jazz wrapped up the regular season. They topped the San Antonio Spurs 101-97. 51 wins for the Utah Jazz, and now they'll turn their attention to the NBA playoffs. Saturday, they'll take on the Los Angeles Clippers. Always excited to bring in our next guest, James Holas of bballbreakdown.com. He's actually all over the place. There's a lot of stuff that James is associated with as far as the game of basketball goes. James, I appreciate you making time today. Thank you. Great to get you back on.
Oh, man, I always appreciate you having me on, and I know I'm running late today, so thanks for being so patient.
No, it's fine. No, we're on your time here on Drive Time Sports. You're all good. With that being said, James, we're going to dive right into it, talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs now that the regular season is behind us, and I'm going to dive right into it with the Cleveland Cavaliers, the defending NBA champs. They have pulled a couple of moves from the All-Star break, bringing in guys, letting guys go, but most recently letting go of Larry Sanders to make a roster spot available for Dante Jones. Is it just me, or is there a lot of panic and a lot of desperation happening within the front office right now with the defending champs, more so than I have seen from a defending champion in quite some time?
It's so hard to gauge a LeBron James team because we know he has the utmost confidence. We know that his teammates have the utmost confidence in him, maybe overconfidence, because I'm thinking we might be seeing, even subconsciously, the team is thinking in the back of our heads, well, we got LeBron, we don't have anything to worry about. But these are definitely moves that they're making at 20 all year. They came back intact, healthy, but, you know, LeBron knew they needed more once Kevin Durant went to Golden State. So they've been adding all year, and it still doesn't seem like it's gelling, right? They've got this new mix of players with Deron Williams, and now they're adding Dante Jones for, I guess, perimeter defense and veteran leadership. And, you know, they got, you know, Chandler Fry's a great shooter. He's a good addition, too. Kyle Korver came in. They added more stretch, stretch the floor, and add more shooting. And they still just aren't looking very good. And the playoffs are right here knocking on their door. So I don't know if I call it desperation, but I mean, LeBron has to be concerned because, yeah, sure, every year his teams kind of have a little swoon, you know, in the dog days of the season. Never anything like this. I think there are like 23 and 21 since January 1st. You know, that's not good. They've been a 500 team for, you know, over half the season. So then the defense is abysmal. It's like in the bottom, you know, it's like 22nd, 23rd in defensive rating for the season. That's not very good. So let's see if they hit that switch. I know they're not too worried about the first round, but, I mean, sooner or later, the ride has to end. Is this the year? That must be the question LeBron James is asking himself.
Well, really, when you look at the Eastern Conference 1-5, I think it's probably the most difficult road that LeBron has ever had to go through to get to the NBA Finals. I mean, he had Chicago when he was in Miami, had Indiana for a couple of seasons when he was in Miami. But really, James, I haven't seen the Eastern Conference this legitimate in the past 6 years, at least in my mind. Tell me if I'm wrong there.
So I'm going to say this. I think a couple years ago when the Hawks had 60 wins, and, you know, the Bulls were relatively healthy. We kind of thought the same thing until LeBron made short work of them. I know that the Celtics are right now holding the number one seed, and that's my team. But, you know, they don't rebound very well, and they don't have either to protect the rim. And when you have a 6'8 LeBron James, those two things you'll feast on. The Wizards are awful thin, you know, behind their starting five. I just don't know. Once they get in the playoffs, we know Scott Skiles is not the greatest tactician. He's a good leader of men, and he's IT mate. He's got the most he can out of the team. Let's see the X's and O's once they get into the playoffs. Toronto is the one team, I think, like you were saying, that really they're not going to be a pushover this year. I think the additions of Serge Ibaka and P.J. Tucker really bolstered that team. Kyle Lowry should be rested. He was healing from an injury, but, you know, when you miss games, your legs should be nice and fresh. And so that's the one team I think really can probably push LeBron in the company. Because we saw what happened. You know, the Celtics came in. There was a good measuring stick game. Cleveland was reeling on the second game of back-to-back. And they just on the first game of back-to-back, they just washed up Boston. So playoff LeBron is a whole different animal, man. I think we'll talk in 3 weeks and see what we say then.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It is hard to gauge a LeBron James-led team. Let's flip over, talk Western Conference here for a moment. All year, it seemed like it's been a two-team race between Golden State and San Antonio. This first-round matchup for the Spurs, San Antonio-Memphis, I'm telling you, this series is interesting to me, James. It really is. We've seen Memphis give San Antonio some problems in the past. They have some players with some playoff experience under their belt, and you know that if you play a Memphis team, we're talking blue-collar basketball. They are going to punch you in the face. If you're a Spurs fan, are you marginally worried about this series?
It's a really fun kind of throwback series on paper, especially since Kawhi is almost like a throwback wing, you know, nice mid-range game, and he shoots the three very well, so he's a hybrid, you know, throwback superstar versus modern superstar. I don't think so. I really just don't think so. There's a reason one's a two seed and they won over 60 games. There's a reason the other one, you know, is the seven seed. And Memphis, as great as they are at the point guard and the center, they're just other places on the wing, they're just too weak. I know Tony Allen, he's an aging defender. Who is he really going to defend when it comes to the Spurs? I know he's meant to defend Kawhi. Kawhi's just too big. And Kawhi is going to probably have his way kind of with Tony Allen, because Tony Allen's not the Tony Allen of 2012. And this, you know, they're playing Andrew Harrison. They're playing they have a lot of green guys who need the experience. I just think that the Spurs machine is just too much, and everyone knows their roles in San Antonio. They have no answer for. I know Zebo's been great off the bench for Memphis, but you know Powell's been stretching the floor, and who's going to really guard him for Memphis? So I want it to be a really good matchup, and I know that the grit and grind era has always been more than some of its parts. I also know that the last time they met in the playoffs, I think the Spurs swept them, right? That was like 2013 or 12,
right.
Whatever
yeah.
It was. But, so I don't think it'll be too much of a let's hope Memphis makes it a six-game series, but I think it'll probably be over five.
So what's the most interesting matchup in the first round in your mind? I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's either going to be Clippers, Jazz, or Rockets, Thunder, right, in the first round?
Now, just for personal preference, I will say it's going to be Rockets, Thunder. It's such a study in contrast. The Rockets are the cutting-edge modern team. They're going to get a bunch of threes. They want layups and dunks. James Harden has been the quintessential modern player as far as he's shooting threes or he's getting to the rim. Very few mid-range. He's been amazing this series. At the other end of the spectrum, you got the Hammer. The Thunder just beat you up on the boards, beat you up inside. Russell Westbrook is just he's going to keep coming. He's aggressive. He's thrown up a lot of threes, and he's actually making them at a decent clip, but that team is one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. They beat you by pounding you on the boards and by Russell Westbrook just being amazing. So the Thunder, their perimeter defense has been really shoddy lately, and they're not really good defending three. So this might even be either a really quick series where every game they start off kind of close and then the Rockets just unleash a torrent, or let's see if, like last year, the Thunder could flip the switch, hit the playoffs, and actually kind of lock in defensively. And I think if they can just do something about bottling up those shooters and actually sharpen up the rotations, I mean, when you got to play like Russell Westbrook, you got a shot. So that's a great series. On the other end of the spectrum, I like the Jazz and I like the Clippers because the narrative is, and I guess the storyline, not even narrative, storylines. Clippers are entering free agency with a lot of their big guys this season. They've been together 4 or 5 years, and you know it feels almost like they missed their shot. The window's closing, while the Jazz are just hitting the playoffs. Their window's still open. They're so young, and they're still kind of developing. So it's kind of like the old guard versus new guard. And then Chris Paul, we know the knock on him has been can't get deep in the playoffs. Well, let's see if he can get past this great defensive Jazz team in the first round. Because if he doesn't, I think a lot of things change in Clippland this summer.
Again, our guest right now is James Hollis. He's with BBallBreakdown.com. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter. The greatest Twitter handle of all, at Snotty Drippin'. James, with that being said, we go into the postseason. There's been a lot of talk about the regular season awards. Part of the fun in the NBA is, look, these individual awards are probably the most coveted in all of professional sports. MVP, who do you have?
I got to go with Mr. Why Not, Russell Westbrook. I know the record isn't there. I understand that the other teams have more wins. I know the efficiency isn't there. I know that Kawhi and Harden are way more efficient and they take care of the ball, whatever, whatever. The story is hometown hero turns his back and goes to the enemy. The team is downtrodden. We're talking about is Westbrook going to get moved because if he doesn't sign, they need to get something for him. Surprise move, they re-sign him to an extension. They make a couple of small moves. Now it's him and Oladipo. I went and looked today. I was looking through social media and a lot of tweets about how there's no way that Thunder make the playoffs this year. He's been spectacular. No one thought he could really average a triple-double. We thought he'd wear down. Last game of the season, no, that last game against Denver, he was still just as fresh at the end, pulling up a 40-foot three and then celebrating as he was in game one. The kid's amazing. He's had clutch moments. He has the numbers. He has the triple-doubles. He's leading the league in scoring. I don't care if he's only the sixth seed. I think he deserves the MVP.
I agree with you 100%. Look, this is a unicorn season. I didn't know that something like this could exist, and I can compare it in talking baseball to Miguel Cabrera back in 2012 when he won the Triple Crown. Mike Trout put up terrific statistics. Mike Trout was deserving of the MVP, and I think you could make the same case with James Harden. Yet at the same time, in my lifetime, I had never seen anyone win the Triple Crown in baseball. Because of that, I had to give the nod to Miguel Cabrera. I say the same thing with Russell Westbrook. Statistically, it's something I never thought I would see, James. I really didn't.
I didn't either, man. I said at the beginning of the season, if Russell Westbrook is close to averaging a triple-double, that means they're on a bad team, he's going to be wildly inefficient, and they're not going to make the playoffs. Because I thought that means he's breaking down, he's trying to do too much. Well, obviously I was wrong, and I'm glad I was wrong. It's been amazing to see. And I think no matter what, I'm not going to sit here and say that Harden's not deserving. His numbers have been great. Kawhi's been great. If either one of them win it, I don't think LeBron deserves it because just what I said, for his team, they've underperformed. And that they haven't really been, you know, they haven't been impressive. But with Westbrook's resume, man, I think no matter what, we'll look back in 3 or 4 years and sure, you know who the MVP is, but this will be the year of Westbrook.
You know, here in the state of Utah, Jazz fans obviously want Rudy Gobert to get a lot of pub for most improved player. But let's be honest, this is a one-pony race right now. It has to be the Greek Freak, right?
Yeah, it does. Again, because he's going to enter the rarefied air next season of being, even though he's already known as Giannis. Next year, I think he's going to really get his due as a top 5-6 player in the league. You know, Giannis is amazing. Now, let's go back to Rudy, though, because we are talking on a Jazz, you know, we can be a little Jazz-centric here. I am not a Jazz fan, but I did say before the season there'd be a top 4 seed in the West, and I was off by a seed because I really love their depth. I love what Rudy Gobert brings. The wild card here is Favors in the postseason especially, but back to Gobert, he's gotten better than my wildest dreams. I knew he'd be a great rim protector. I never thought he'd be the offensive threat that he is, even, you know, rolling and catching lobs is a big deal. And, you know, he has nice touch around the rim. He's starting to show that a little bit. He's impressive. Very impressive player.
I definitely want to point this out to the listeners. There's only one other person that I know that said the Jazz would win 50 games this year, and that was James Hollis. I said that, and James was the only other person that I knew or that I've talked to on a semi-regular basis that said the Jazz will win 50 games.
I will say, dude, people ridiculed me and acted incredulous when I tweeted out proudly. I said, I think Utah's going to be a top 4 team in the West and win over 50. And I also said I think Portland is going to struggle to make the playoffs. People were on me pretty hard early in the season. I'm glad to see both of those worked out.
Right. James, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Thanks for having me on, brother. You can find me at B-Ball Breakdown, James Hollis. That's like hola with an S at the end. So James Hollis over at bballbreakdown.com. On Twitter, I'm at Snotty Drippin, which is an homage to the great Scottie Pippen. Snotty Drippin. And then I'm also running a podcast with a co-host over on Press Basketball. You can find me on the Way Team podcast. And last one, I run the Truth podcast, the Celtic-centric podcast, over at the Almighty Baller podcast radio network. Sorry.
You're all over the place, James. It's a fun time of the year. Again, I appreciate you making time for us. Hopefully we'll get you on during the playoffs.
My man, anytime, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I love getting James on the show to get his insight and perspective on the game of basketball. Remember, the Utah Jazz will return to KOAL this Saturday. They take on the Los Angeles Clippers in Game 1 of the NBA playoffs. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports.